Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swanee and Friends. This is part two, Dane Swan, Samantha Riches, and guest friend, Brett Deledio. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I must admit, I was a bit surprised when I saw the text come through. You know, Dane and I have obviously had our run-ins on the field. We've done a couple of little cashies together, but it's good to be in here.
What was it like on the field next to him?
He's too quick for me.
So he weren't next to him very long.
Mate, I'm not sure he knew who I was. He just gave me the mate. He was too busy kicking the footy. I was just chasing.
He used to kill us. Yeah, a lot.
All right, enough.
He
of did.
He kicked five against us one day, I think, when you went for four.
Yeah, that's right. That was a big night, that one, in the end.
So, obviously, it's a great week to get you in. You got the retirement of Jack Riewoldt and Trent Cotchin, and Dimmer's got the job at the Gold Coast. So the obvious opening question on this podcast is, how did you find Heath Shaw as a teammate?
He's a beauty, Shorey. What he is on the field is completely different off the field, so to speak. And he's
not well.
You don't reckon?
He
surprised me, you know. Like I didn't think he'd be as caring as what he was off the field. Like he went out of his way a lot to make sure that I fit into the club really well. And obviously, he wasn't lucky in the situation I was, wife and kids and whatever else.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, I think that might be part of it too. Loves a good time, Heath, and really he gelled so well with the young boys because of that good time stuff, you know. But. He's an interesting cat, Heath.
He's good. He's good fun. Well, he's a lunatic.
What do you mean by he was different off field to what you expected on field?
Well, just a mad competitor on field that's just constantly on and yelling and screaming and barking at people for not doing the right thing, and then off the field still does that a fair bit. And, I've never seen a bloke run a time trial in his speedos. You know, put it that way. That's the different sort of stuff that I'm
talking
about.
That's not an image I needed for a Wednesday morning. Thank you.
Not at all. Nah. All right, talk about the boys and their retirement and what you thought watching it all.
Did you go?
No, well, I wanted to go, but my wife had a birthday party with all her school friends planned for like 3 months. So I was like, oh, this is really important. She's like, you know how it goes.
Yeah, well, we do, we do. Yeah.
Yeah, and mother-in-law was away, so yeah, I had no out. But watched it on TV, and look, I thought it was the right call that the boys finished up. I thought they've got a lot out of their career, and you could just see signs, and you know when the signs are. You know, as an outsider, inside you probably think you still can play forever.
Yeah,
but I think the boys made a great call, and they sent off really well. The club did it really well. I was surprised at how many people stayed around after it.
Yeah.
And lap of honour and all that sort of stuff. It was. I'd never seen that before.
So 59,000 there. Dane's nearest the pin. I thought the Tiger Army would have got a bit more there.
Yeah, there was 58 of them. There was 1,000 in North.
Oh, sorry,
and a few coteries.
Yeah.
I think, it was against North. Had it been a big game against Collingwood or Essendon, Carlton, something like that, you would have definitely got more, but there wasn't a lot riding on it, let's be honest.
What you two have in common that they don't is that your body's packed it in and you probably couldn't have got any more because that was just it. Your body said that. So have you thought about that psychology that when your bodies don't necessarily say you have to stop, but you're below your best?
Yeah. I think for me, essentially, upstairs I felt great. You know, and I I still watch it now, and I think I can still play.
Yeah, of course.
You still get a kick.
Are you playing?
AFL 9s, yeah. Just down here in Malvern, but in the over 35s, mind
you. Of course, absolutely.
Do you know Dane's still playing?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I play two games this week. I play Saturday and Sunday, Super Rules. Come down and play Supers.
Yeah, who do you play with?
Dom Valley, Lefebvre, Aaron Edwards.
Is Chewy there? Is it
Chewy? Yeah, Chewy.
Yeah, Chewy's been on to me for ages. So Chewy played with my brother at North King Flag. Good man. I need you to come down. We're a bit short. But Sundays doesn't work. I'm radio on Sundays, but I'm a chance. You know, I said in the future, mate, I'll definitely come down and play with you. But no, I've been asked a lot of times to come and play, but it doesn't interest me unless it's got to be something financial.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You're on the right podcast.
When you finish, when your body can't get to where your brain expects, that's when you got to give it up.
Yeah.
Well, obviously I couldn't with my foot. You was your calf, wasn't it?
Calf, yeah.
That's basically what it is. But when you're able-bodied, you still think you can get there. You can't see it, but everyone else can see it. Like when you start getting caught holding the ball a bit more, when you're trying and you drop a mark so you're short, or you can't, some blokes speed and pass you. Like, fuck, I was much quicker than him 2 years ago. What's happened? That's when our bodies let us down, so we had to go. But thankfully, we made the decision to go instead of sort of
tapped on the shoulder.
Yeah, mate, you're hopeless now. Out you go. So it's one of those things.
Talk about the boys individually and your associations with them. Firstly, Trent.
Look, Trent came in as the one kid, essentially, as pick two, I think it was, back in.
Only pick two.
Pick two, just missed the pick one. Carlton had their chance.
Who was one?
Cruiser, I reckon. Cruiser, they wanted a ruckman. So, he was a Tigers supporter, I believe, Trent, already. He came in, did some things. You just like, this kid's going to be great. You can see he already had leadership written all over him.
In which way? As far as specifics with leadership?
In the way he prepared himself, what he expected of him, but also his teammates, the kids around him as well. You could see that he was going to challenge people to come along for the ride, so to speak, which is, it's a great attribute to have. But, you saw the best parts of his footy, I think, around that 2011, 2012, 2013. He's an unbelievable midfielder, just win it at will, go forward, kick goals. But then really changed his game style, essentially, 2017 onwards, to be this bash and crash, defensive-minded mid that, wasn't all about Trent, essentially. It was about how can I make my teammates better? And I think that's – I wasn't there to witness that, but certainly talking to the boys, it was so
evident. Prolonged his career for sure.
It definitely did.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think he had to pivot because the speed and the – that was Dustin, sort of pressed you out. Dustin was all doing that, so he did need to pivot. And he obviously, so what good captains do and what good leaders do, and he found a way to contribute without being the best player on the ground every week. And, Wookie obviously led them to about 3 flags in 4 years, so he obviously did a remarkable job of figuring out.
That fourth one, Mason Cox doesn't turn into Wayne Carey.
Exactly.
So Dane's got a theory that there's a very short list of Brownlow winners who have brilliant defensive games. So you're saying he managed to change that side of things?
Well, I don't think defence was the number one attribute that he had in 2012 when he won it.
Absolutely.
You win it, Dane?
It's a story for another day.
Yeah. Wow. I'll let you tell that. Yeah. I'm not going to jump in.
Exactly.
But look, they're the best ball winners for a reason, these guys. It's not because they run around and tackle.
Finn McGuinness ain't winning the Brownlow this year, let me tell you.
No, he's not.
That's your big call.
He's very good at what he does, but he's never winning a Brownlow.
That's it.
Unless he becomes a ball winner.
And I think that the biggest thing is that it's you're second to the footy all the time, but the best players are the ones that go and hunt it and they go and find it and they can distribute it while someone's hanging off them and still, be able to do that 30-odd times. So,
Did you personally think of that sort of change in footy through your career, about the accountability side of things that really came in?
I got challenged.
Footage.
Pardon? That was
fucked a lot of careers.
Behind the goals footy, I got challenged really hard back in 2009 about just got the sack. Jade Rawlings was in charge, and Wayne Campbell was really hard on me in this sense. A great mentor and mate of mine, but he you know, it was a game I was against St Kilda. I was supposed to be on Jason Graham, and he's gone that way. I've gone this way. He runs through and kicks a goal, and they were just like, that was shit ass in front of everyone. I was about to get dropped. They were going to play Alex Rance on the ball, key back, key forward, on the ball instead of me. I was going to play twos. Yeah, in hindsight, if that had happened, if I'd have been dropped, I would have ended up probably at the Pies instead of Luke Ball. Ended up there, 2010. Yeah. They win the flag. I stay at the Tigers, bottom of the ladder, and then go through a rebuild. So, sliding doors, isn't it?
But, 100%.
Yeah, look, the accountability side of things, it was, I think if you're in a good side and you are a good midfielder, a lot of things get swept under the rug, and it's like, go and hunt the footy, do what you do, because you're a great player.
You're winning, so you can take more chance because you more or not have got the ball and you're going forward.
100%. Yeah. Whereas if you're a bad side, why are we so bad? We need you to do both sides of the ball. You can't be just a downhill skier, you know. So I think when Richmond became really good, that's when we saw the best of Dusty, you know, because he was just like, he's unbelievable forward half player.
Yeah.
I don't think in 2017, I'm not sure he stepped inside the defensive 50.
No, not at all. No.
He started to get to the line. There was almost a big brick wall there, and then he'll do all his damage there. But the proof's in the pudding, isn't it?
I'm a D's man, and I'm only saying this because, you know, like most fans, I've got really no idea what's going on out there. But I went to a briefing that Amuse took during the year.
Yep.
And they've got the down-the-ground vision. I could not believe Oliver and Petrarca are looking over their shoulder at where their man is while they're hunting the ball at the same time. But the accountability of footy now is ridiculous.
Well, it's just so you don't get embarrassed on Monday morning. Yeah. Oh, look at him there. He's looking, you know. Yeah.
What's he looking at?
Hope I'm on the bench. Yeah. Oh, sweet. Perfect. Yeah.
This is shit house. Oh, no, where am I? Oh, Christ.
Well, no, because you're looking, you're like, especially for the ball winners, you like, you have that instinctual decision, like, do I go with him or do I just pull up a little bit and hope that that ball gets turned over there? Because if that ball gets turned over there, I'm fucking out here. I'm about 80 metres. And, you know, usually when you win 7 out of 10 times, it works. But then that one time you look fucking horrible. You're like, fuck, that doesn't come up in this thing. So it's always just that little bit, oh, if I've got to sprint 50 minutes, that's really going to hurt. So if we turn over, I'm not going to be able to get back on the fat side. I'll just tread water a little bit. Then you can see it going and you're like, fuck, I've got to go now. And you're like, just that 4 metres too late and like they get it and do it and then you're on the mark somewhere.
Footy gods, though, if you just don't go, it always ends up in their lap or they'll get a goal or something. Like,
exactly.
You know what's coming.
Like, I'm pretty tired. Nah, not this one. It's definitely not getting away. And then boom, random bounce back in his leg. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And what about Jack? Where did you see his development through his career?
One of the rarest individuals when he first came in. We talked about Shorey before. Jack's probably on the same spectrum a little bit in terms of different. Came in like already ready orangey hair, but with streaks of purple and brown and driving a big purple combi. Like just a kid from Tassie that had no idea but incredible belief in his own ability.
Yeah.
Spent some time down in the twos, obviously, because we had Richo still there. Jay Schultz was coming through at the time. Learn his craft a little bit, but always knew he was going to be a great player because he just had this inner belief.
Yep.
For a guy that's won 93, 94, his ability to catch it against bigger bodies and take huge hangs. Like he's got a fair resume in terms of hangers. Mate,
I was on the back page with him one day.
Underneath?
Yeah, I was underneath him. I could feel it coming too. I was on the wing and I had to back. I was like, and I fucking knew it was him too. I was like, please just fumbling it. Yep, sat on my head and took it. I was like, god damn. And I was watching his highlights on 360, whatever it was. I was like, fucking please don't show me. But they didn't, which was nice. They left me out of it. But he could jump on heads, no problem.
Yeah.
And did he too change his career sort of?
Yeah, again, probably 2017. I reckon they lacked another key forward. It was him and then all the little mosquito fleet. So he became a really selfless wasn't just all about Jack kicking the goals. You know, started to see him tap it to players and look for the square up, and it was really like
where was mine?
Yeah, wow, where was it? Yeah, a couple of years ago, big fella, just getting a bake as you're coming down. But it was really probably that Geelong model, where they tried to outdo each other with goal assists and whatever else. You know, so his ability to see what's going on up the field is as good as any player that I've ever played with.
Really?
Just understands the intricacies of the ball and where it's going to bounce and how things are going to unfold. And that's why it gets on the end of so many, because he just understands it.
And because you mentioned him, so the two megastars that you play with, Richo to Dusty, what was your relationship with both?
Well, Richo, essentially,
he was the big dog.
He was the big dog.
he still thinks he is sometimes, doesn't he? Bless him.
And one of, you know, get him with his mates, and he's the big alpha dog. Get him in a social setting with other people that he doesn't quite know, who he really calms down, and he's the big manners, and very generous with his time, whatever else. Get him Richo one out, and it's. Remember how many marks I took, how many goals I kicked on the G-boys and, you know, please, you know. But one of the most generous teammates I ever had would always, you know, look to take you along to concerts and take you out for lunch and dinners and whatever else, pick you up whenever you needed to. A true gentleman in that sense. Dusty, on the other hand, he's a bit, bit different. He was a kid when he first came in and just didn't understand the ins and outs of footy, essentially. Knew how to play, but everything that needed to come along with it as well. I used to get him up to my mum and dad's house a lot, and he loved riding dirt bikes. So we'd train Saturday morning, straight up to mum and dad's, go up there, ride all day, drink most of the night, and then come back and into it again on a Monday. It just broke up our pre-season for us. He's mad on a motorbike, mind you. crazy. But, you know, he'd come over to my house most nights before games. I had a table tennis table in a three-bedroom apartment, so tiny little area, and constantly getting in trouble. But he'd play until 11 o'clock at night, sweating up a storm. It kept his mind busy more than anything else. So I had a great relationship with him, essentially, until I left. Still stay in touch here and there, and still would call him a close mate. But obviously, when you leave, you sort of go your own ways a little bit. But he's a quiet kid. Dane knows him as well as anyone. That he likes to keep to himself. He doesn't chase the limelight, the stardom, or anything like that.
He's a hard man to get a hold of sometimes.
His phone's broken most of the time. Well, it seems it is. You've got to see him in person or catch him. He's like, oh yeah. And then you can text him that day and he'd be great. And then if you do it again out of the blue, it's
Gonski.
Yeah, he's gone. But he's actually like a really humble, well mannered. He'd come over for dinner and he'd bring over a bottle of wine or some chocolates or flowers for my wife. And I went down to the rooms just the other day and he came over, saw both one of my kids, my little nephews were there. Gave him a hug and whatever else, mate. So he's great with that sort of stuff.
So what you've basically described is the only thing in common in footy clubs is everyone's really good at playing footy because the personalities are all over.
It's so different, mate. Yeah. So different. And it takes 40 different people to win a flag, so to speak. But and you're never going to be mates with all of them either. Like you butt heads and you got obviously your rat packs. I don't think we had one at Richmond. We had just groups of guys that just like to go and do their own thing and whatever else, and they're not footy heads, but then you got your footy heads that really...
Were you a footy head?
I was, probably, yeah. Still enjoyed a good time, but I was really focused on diet and making sure I was prepared and ready to go. I used to enjoy watching these boys go down to Richmond and they'd be into Richmond roast with a hot gravy roll and chips and still come out and get 30 and we're sitting there with poached eggs and avo and trying to be...
I love that store, so good.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah, it was great.
Where's this?
Richard, just like a day before a game, we'd go and eat roast chicken, gravy, chips, and all that. It was brilliant. Used to love it.
Not fair.
No, it wasn't fair.
But that's, I've always said, so if I try to do what Brett did or Pendles did or something, I would have burned out. I'd be like, I can't fucking live like this. That's just the way they prepared, and that's why they were so good. But vice versa, you'd probably try to live how I live. They probably couldn't do it. Yeah, exactly. But it was like Dusty with the table tennis. The release we needed. I needed to be able to eat what I wanted. And my skin was always just under what they needed. Needed to be able to go and be. Some people like to play golf. I like to go and see my friends and have a beer and relax. So that's just how it was. I wanted to enjoy everything about being out in AFL football, not just the on-field stuff. I wanted to enjoy the off-field stuff too.
What about mentally? Dane always says that he had 2 hours a week and that was it.
Yeah.
When the game started, when the game finished. Were you good mentally like that or did you tend to consume it all?
No, I consumed far too much, especially early. I consumed a hell of a lot and it probably learned the hard way, really, in terms of what it's like to switch off and not let the result control your whole week or your whole life.
Yeah.
It's a fine balance, though, because like Dane was just saying, it's like I was finely tuned in that sense that if I didn't do everything right, I didn't feel like I was prepared and ready to go on that Saturday. But then there's still that point. I probably worked it out 2014. I started doing meditation and changing the way I thought about footy in terms of what everyone else was thinking about me. You know, I worried about that too much.
Yeah.
And I found footy so much more enjoyable and I played so much better as a result of it, you know.
Yeah. And are you able – so now you're a player manager. Are you able to impart that sort of 100%. Balance a lot to your kids?
Yeah, and I try and lean on that a lot in terms of being able to say to boys, listen, there's – your footy is what you've got, but you've got to have an outlet. But you've also got to understand that if you overthink and whatever else, you're going to forget or you're not going to be able to play just on instinct, which footy is 100 most of the time, you know. If you sit there and you think about it, more often than not, it's like that thinking of, I've got to go here, but I didn't quite go, your team, your opposition gets it, you know.
Yeah.
Your things just happen. You got to, and trying to instill that in young blokes is, they're like, oh, I never really thought about that. I was like, but I take little bits of, you know, podcasts and what the great players say and do, and it's like, yeah, I can use that little bit of knowledge, you know. What he said there is, you should try this, you know.
Yep.
And the first instinct stuff's hard these days because the defensive coach now is so drilled. It's like, right, when the ball's here, when they turn the ball on you, right, team defense, you got to be pushed up. And if you're playing on the wing, you've got to be this pocket. So as soon as the ball gets turned, you're like, fuck, where should I need to be? Like, you're just so worried where you're so worried about where you need to be in your team defense or when you've got the ball, where you need to be, which way the game plan is, where as from 10 to where you get drafted, it's all just like that. Bang, where's the ball? You know, everyone, you know, talks about what you're thinking about during a game. As soon as I get rid of it, exactly the thing I was thinking of is when I'm getting it again.
Yeah.
So like, that was all about, all right, fuck, I got thinking of running around for 4 minutes, how are I, how's, where's my next kick coming from? Yeah. So that's where I was. But now it's like, all right, ball gets turned over, fuck, all right, I've got to go back to my left. So like, it can take a little bit of the instinct out of the game. So that's why I reckon the sides are good and the players that are still play off instinct. That's what
Do you think that's why when we see some young kids that are drafted high and got all these high expectations and you saw them in their under-18s and they were just flary and exciting to watch and then they get into a
– gets coached out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. They're trying to create some robots that can just run up and down all day and fill a spot.
Mm. And so I see the clubs – going to the wrong club can fuck you too.
Mm.
Like if you go to a club that is super defensive, this like, you know – like Nick Dacos, if he had played in, you know, probably – when Bucks was taken, when I was so defensive, there's no way he would have the year he had because it was all slow ball movement, like just chip around and let's not take the game on. Where Nick came in, flies just gone, you know, do what you do. So he's allowed to keep those balls in the middle, step people and run around. So it can be a product of your environment as well.
Yeah, you've seen that from what Craig McRae's doing. It seems as an outsider, he was never good enough out there, but he's tapped into the mental side of the game that probably is the most under appreciated.
Yeah, well, I had Fly as a development coach back in 08 or 09, I reckon it was. And then he went to Collingwood, but then left and then eventually came back. Yeah, and now he's the senior coach. Sorry, he went back to Richmond first and coached the VFL there for a little while and then got the senior gig. But his ability to allow players to bring their strengths, I think, is as good as anyone out there. But I think that comes a little bit off the back of what Dimmer was doing as well. Your strengths will cover your weaknesses and vice versa for every teammate that's out there. So you can see in the way they play that it's not for fear of failure with the way they go and have a crack. And you think about that behind the goals vision, and I'm not going to take that kick because it might turn over and then we'll be back the other way, or I'm not going to run defensively. It's like, well, have a go at it and we'll make it up and we'll fix it up if we can. So, he's fantastic at that, and they're getting there. I mean, they've been a bit of a lull at the moment, but hopefully they can...
they wouldn't want to lose to Western Friday night.
No, they won't.
They wouldn't want to, no. Panels, they're no one's panicking yet, but...
They're not playing their best,
they? Get flogged by Essendon, the panic stations will kick in. You want to go in with a little soft kill on Friday night, even though no Darcy and Nick, but I think they'll just about be full strength apart from that, but... Yeah, they wouldn't want to lose by 5 goals to Western after what they copped on the weekend.
So what about Damien Hardwick's journey with you along the lines? And obviously then he became a triple premiership coach. Now he's got the gig at the Gold Coast. But what was your relationship like during your playing days?
Really good. I think, as I was talking about before, with those sliding doors moments, that I was out of contract end of 09 when he got appointed. And he kept asking, he was like, well, what are you doing? I eventually went in and said, mate, listen, I'm going to stay and whatever. Oh, come here, give us
a... How close were you leaving?
Not really close. Like, the money was good to come across to the Pies. And
did you leave a bit, Dane?
I'm a generous man. Yeah, a lot of the win. The table. Yeah.
But look, I really thought I'd only been there what was that, 09? So 5 years, I think, at the Tigers. And I probably felt like it was probably a little bit early. Had it been – and that was probably the reason why I left, essentially, in the in 2016, was because I had that opportunity and then the Pies went on to win the flag. I was like, well, if I don't go to the Giants and they go on and win the flag, I'm going to be like, you know, once bitten, twice shot. Once bitten, shot. Whatever that saying is. So Dimmer was great for me, mate. Like, I really got along with him really well, to the point where I'd ring him nearly straight after games and say, mate, how do we get better at this? What can we actually do to be a better side? Because I was impatient, essentially, you know. But yeah, he rode me pretty hard, you know. Yep. And in terms of that, you talk about that coaching, that flair, a little bit out. He was all about coaching the side to be for like team success, and it takes a little while to buy into that sort of thing, I think, with. You know, when he's trying to develop a defensive game style as well. But, he was, mate, his ability to change what he was to what he got the boys to be in from 2016 onwards was, you just got to tip your hat. Cap to
but
him.
You mentioned sliding doors, mate, and he was nearly a sliding door.
He was nearly himself. Out as well. And that, like, I sat down, because hence the relationship, I sat down with him at a cafe and just said, mate, I'm thinking about changing clubs, and I'm at that point in time. Very similar to what he did this year. It's like, I feel like I'm burnt out. I need a fresh start. Well, that's where I was.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, well, I think you should go to the Giants. I was shit frightened to go to the Giants. I was like, I don't want to go to Sydney. You know, I only had one young daughter at that stage, planning on having more kids. Don't want to go up there, no support and whatever else. But they are the best team in it from, you know, if you're looking from afar. I'd love to go to the Cats. Let's see if we can orchestrate that. That looks like a good place to play. Money and everything else just didn't quite align. Came to the Cats probably too late for them to get their ducks in a row. And then essentially the Dogs came along. They just won the flag. You know, it was a chance to potentially go there. But again, things just didn't align. And Wayne Campbell was constantly on to me about coming up to the Giants. And I had that in my ears, 09, just don't make that same mistake. Go and have a crack. the Tigers looked like the arse was falling out of, you know, like it was.
Well, they had the loss that Essendon like had last week, didn't they? Against Sydney in the last.
Oh, it got absolutely smashed. I remember sitting on the couch just thinking,
you were injured. Yeah,
I was injured at the point in time. These poor bastards. Like, I can't. The last game of the year, and you're getting done by 120 points. Buddy's kicking 7 or 8. poor old Rancey's just fighting a losing battle, trying to hold up the damn wall. You know, and I just thought, I can't go through another cycle of rebuild and being mediocre. You know, watching other players, I reckon Bob Murphy probably sprung to mind, you know, a little bit in terms of, like, they got to finals but didn't quite get the ultimate. Do I want to be that for the rest of my career? Yeah, granted, he's a 300-game player at one club and revered. But, you know, I've got a chance to maybe change it. Is a one club thing dear to me as much as what potentially going to play in a side where you're not completely relied upon to be the best player every single week. You can chip in, you can just enjoy your footy again. And that's why I went and tried to experience that. But Dimmer was all for, mate, go and experience. I want you to be a premiership player. I want you to experience what I've experienced as a player.
Yep.
I think that's the best opportunity for you.
And he did it twice at Essendon and then in Port.
Yeah.
After changing.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
What about the before I ask you about your own journey, but how did you see him change from afar? And obviously, you still had mates there, etc. But through the premiership years,
yeah, I think he just chipped away a few of the sharp edges. You know, in terms of he became more open to the boys in terms of what he needed to, you know, not be so protected and I'm the boss, and that's the way it is. You know, I think he opened himself up a fair bit, but Trent was a big leader in that as well. And they just made it, you know, about telling stories, essentially, from what I can gather.
Yeah.
And they encourage boys to be themselves and come in and not get too caught up in the win-loss, you know, riding that roller coaster that we do a lot in footy.
Yeah.
You know, did we play the way we wanted to play? Yeah, we did. We still didn't quite get the result, but, you know, keep doing this and I think we will.
So I've fielded away from actually playing. Hopefully this lines up as a memory, but I saw Andy Gowers before he was Hawthorn president. He was talking somewhere, some function about 10 years ago. He said the best thing he did as a young family was move to Brisbane.
Yep.
He said even though he's a Hawthorn premiership player and all that, just to start again with young family and having to get out of your comfort zone with young kids, etc. What was that similar to
yourself? In terms of life, mate, yeah. It's been terrific for me and my wife. I learned a hell of a lot about... Mate, I lived in a little bubble, essentially. I mean, me and Malvern, my mother-in-law and father-in-law in Hawthorn East support, and they're 10 minutes into the club. Everything was easy.
Yes.
You know, but I didn't, like, living the rest of your life purely just in Malvern or in Melbourne is sort of like, surely there's more to life. And Sydney was a great chapter in our story.
Where'd you live in Sydney?
We're in Balmain, so yeah. Inner West. Great little community for young families and whatever else. 25 minutes out to the club, 20 minutes to the beaches. Loved it. You're essentially on a holiday for 3 years. I was up there because you're in the water from September right through until May.
You'd cope with that?
Yeah, no.
You're more a pool guy though.
Yeah, I'm a pool guy, but the weather, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, just never got asked to go to the Giants, unfortunately.
You should have come up with Dusty with the hard high vis when he was going. No, look, it was a great part of our life in terms of learning how to deal with just each other and not having her mum and father right there, mum and dad only a couple of hours away.
Yep.
It was, mate, you learn a lot about yourself when you're on your pack alone.
So what was the difference in that compared to, you know, you when you were drafted and you're number one, et cetera, but you also were from a small country town.
Yeah.
And you had to get out of your comfort zone to be a big smoke in the city.
Yeah. Oh, that didn't worry me as much, you know, because it was what I always wanted to do. So
yes.
It might be hard to believe, but I was pretty confident as a kid. And come down and, you know, just wanted to earn the respect of the older boys, as you do as a kid when you come in. And I was drafted with four or five other young blokes, but I was like, I'm not going to learn much off these four or five young blokes. Yeah, I know, like, we'll hang out and whatever else, but the older boys are where I want to be. And
yes.
I was Wayne Campbell, Kane Johnson, Matty Richardson, Nathan Brown, probably too much time with Brownie. you know, I always said, let's go for lunch. Anytime. And I just wanted to pick their brain and be a sponge, you know, to the detriment of my relationship probably with the younger boys.
Yep.
But I had goals and I had things that I wanted to achieve. So I was like, well, this is going to fast track me surely. So then you start playing senior footy, you're in the team regularly, so you're naturally with them more so. But
many of the kids you got drafted with play many games?
Well, Richie Tambling ended up playing 80 or 90, I reckon, at Tiggs. Finished with 130.
Has anyone been under more scrutiny for something he didn't have any control over?
It's rubbish.
Poor bugger.
I feel so
sorry. What are you talking about?
There is not one footy fan who, if you said Richard Tambling doesn't think of Buddy Franklin. It's just impossible. What did he do?
It's not his fault. It's the recruiter's fault.
Yeah. It was Plough. Plough wanted to take him at pick one.
To Tambling?
Yeah.
Would Plough still say that?
I've read an article recently where he said that, you know, we were tossing up between a side bet to that in a minute. But he said, well, yeah, we'd take, we were tossing that up. Yeah. And when he was still available at pick four, we were like, oh, we're just going to grab him.
Yeah.
We did have Richo. So, Buddy, I'm not sure how he fits into all that. But
well, there's two alpha males there.
Huge alpha males. Big dogs. And you don't get in Richo's Ford 50. So I'm not sure where the big fella was going to play. But then we got Mitch Morton came across from West Coast, and he was father son, pick 35 or something to West Coast. And Plough, when he comes in, he's like, tell you what, if this kid was available, you know, pick one, we would have taken him. I was like, that's my draft, Plough. He did take pick one. Anyway, cheers,
Plough. But when you said you walked into the club and you just wanted to be a... I'm hearing the difference between being pick one and being pick 60-odd.
Oh, 58, I was.
58,
mate.
Sorry.
Yeah, man. Well, when were you? You were 05, were 04?
04 draft.
Yeah, no, I was 01.
I didn't want to be seen nor heard. I was too busy doing my own thing on the weekends, trying to get drink cards. That's what I was doing, right? Man, I didn't deserve it.
You know what? Now you have a career, post-career, yeah, and you're giving out drink cards, yeah. So it worked well.
Mate, I didn't deserve to be on AFL. At least I was a shithead. So, I was very, very lucky that I got drafted. But, I wish I had that attitude early on. I would have played maybe a few more games, but it all worked out.
Do you reckon Dane Swan would get drafted today with the shithead attitude you had?
Or Dane Swan?
Probably not. Because they have so much background and stuff these days. Like, no phones back there, no nothing. So it was just basically your tape on the weekend. And I was lucky enough to play three good games in the TAC Cup when we won the flag. So that's what I got drafted on the back. That's what I got drafted on the back on. Yeah, because like Brett's obviously player manager. We're talking before, like, you got to start recruiting these kids at
16.
15, 16, mate. 16, man. I didn't play for the Cannons until I was 17. I was lucky to make combined sides in the Essendon League. So, like, it wasn't like I'm not sure Brett would have been recruiting me. Like, at 16, trying to get me. I would have signed up with him. He would have been the only manager to talk to me. Fuck, he would have had some headaches on some Saturdays of money. I'm not sure we should have fucking recruited him.
You reckon, has Liam said that a few times, has he?
Yeah, no, Pickering's lucky. Like, me and Ablett, the only two, have stuck with him. Buddy fucked off. Penderbury. Jack's still there. Yeah. Jack's still there, yeah. So, but I'll probably given him the most headaches, but probably for the least amount of money, because all those blokes have made much more money than me.
So with GWS, obviously, that's from an outsider, that's your worst nightmare, isn't it? As in the Tigers winning the year that you
left. Oh, mate, it was. Yeah, it was. And I've told this story plenty of times, but who would have thought that? The biggest part for me before that ended up happening was that I got to play him in a prelim. I never played in a prelim, so first time. It's my 250th, and against my old mob on the MCG. yeah, exactly right.
But were you fully fit that year?
I missed 18, 19 games at the start of the year.
That's hard.
Just from my calf. Yeah. Feeling great. First 6 weeks of preseason, awesome. And I said to him, listen, I'll come in, I'll do a bit, but I should be just easing in, getting it right. No, we'll get you in, we'll get you going.
Yeah. Dane, there's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's no good. Especially for the older blokes. Well, it's not the work more you train during an off-season, the more chance you've got to be injured. You need just a slow ramp up.
Slow ramp up. Absolutely. And that's what it would have been if I had stayed at Richmond, but
yes.
New fitness boss. And I wanted to impress as well, so you're doing as much as you can and whatever else. But 18 weeks on the sidelines, come in, played some good footy, started to build into some good footy going into the finals, right before on the eve of the finals, in that stupid week off that we have.
Yeah.
I've had problems with my Achilles right throughout, so I ended up with some tendonitis in that. Yeah, I tried to manage that right through the final series. Could hardly walk by the end of games and whatever else, but I'll never use that as an excuse. I played shithouse on that day. Mostly probably mental. I was nowhere.
Were the boys supportive out there?
The Richmond boys?
Your old teammates?
Yeah. Real supportive.
Give us some examples.
Well, I didn't touch it in the first quarter. I had a couple of tackles. So defensive side.
Yeah, great.
I participated.
Brownlow votes.
Yeah, exactly. The umpires were really watching. But Josh Caddy comes to me at quarter time. He goes, fuck you out here, right? I was like, get the fuck out of my face. I don't need you. I said, none of these blokes even like you. They've told me. And then Stevie J come over the top. He's like, yeah, I've heard too. They think you're a stinking bloke like this. So apparently after the game, poor old Cad's just sitting there and he's like, all down in the mouth. And he said, Grigor said, what's wrong, mate? He goes, oh, mate, apparently Lid said none of you blokes like me. And Grigor's like, mate, oldest trick in the book. But Dusty come past and he give me one in the back. I wasn't watching. I was just running back to position. And he sniped me. He's just started being a hero. Grigor come over the top. So my good mates, the ones that get you the worst. But I was nowhere. I sat on the bench in the third quarter and I was just like, I don't want to go back out. Put the vest on me.
Yeah.
Did you put the vest on?
Nah, Dylan Sheil had already been knocked out from Koch.
Yeah. How dare he?
Yeah. And so I ended up, playing out the last quarter. Got 4 or 5, so I filled the boots to get to a lofty 11. Look, it was one of the worst experiences that I've ever had on a footy field, to be completely honest with you. And then that next week, we on Mad Monday and whatever else and trying to drown your sorrows, but didn't watch any of the grand final, thinking that Adelaide, they're the best team. They should just come out and get it done. I went to the zoo. Never been to
Melbourne or the Sydney?
Sydney Zoo. Yeah. Never been to that.
Well,
so
at least you were in Sydney. No one would
No one knew who I was there. So just cruising around. My wife wouldn't let me watch the the game, she was just like, "Nah, you just get out of your head," essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, just checked my phone late in the day thinking the game will be done by now. Yeah. 25 minutes into the last quarter, Richmond's up by 35 points. Phone into the wall, cracked it, screaming, carrying on. Jesus. Apologised to my wife. I can't believe I've done this to you. I brought you up here and all this. But, yeah, mate, it was tough. Yeah. I handled it appallingly, but mate, I was emotional, yeah.
I'm sure you've thought of it, so I hope I'm not being an arse. I'll ask you this. Would you rather be you in that situation or Nathan Jones in his situation? So his entire career, and then he's still physically able, and he's there.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You haven't been asked it. Sorry.
I've never been asked that question. You have to be so lucky to win a flag.
Yes.
You know, is how I'll probably answer this. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to be right place, right time, and hoping. And that's how I look at it now. Is that even if I was at Richmond, there's no guarantees that I would have been one fit or two ability wise to be able to stand up and play in that side. So. It's all hindsight and crystal balling, you know, that you just have no idea about. And I feel for Jonesy because he went through all the shit years at Melbourne. I remember standing next to him at the pisser at Cushion on a Sunday. And we'd just beaten him by 80 points. And he goes, "How bad are we going?" Well, we weren't playing finals and we'd beaten them by 80 points. He goes, "Oh," I said, "Oh, well, cheers, mate." being a shit team. I watched that with interest in him and feel so sorry for him that he didn't get his opportunity, but it was the right call because he wasn't in their best mix, you know. And I wouldn't wish how I felt on anyone, you know, because it's a miserable feeling. But, mate, I made my choice and that was what I did.
Did those feelings go away?
In time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes time. And I had Jack's wedding not long after that, which was really tough because a lot of your best mates are there and they just experience it all and they're on eggshells as well because they know how hard it would have been for me to be there.
You wouldn't need the pretend smiley
face. Yeah. Alcohol does that. It puts that face on.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
But I eventually ended up, like, I apologised to all the boys and how I handled it because I didn't speak to them for ages and I was just shitty. And it wasn't with them essentially. It was just that I was there for 12 years and we weren't able to get anything done. But then all of a sudden, and I'll use Dusty as the example, he goes out, wins a Brownlow and becomes the best player in the comp. Yeah. He probably already was that.
Where was this fucking 3 years ago?
Yeah. Well, it was a bit like that, but they also, the whole team started to play really well together, you know. So I just, the ones I can't have are the nuffies that go, "Well, it was good, you know, you leaving really helped us." Yeah. I was like, "I know you're trying to be nice, but what the hell does that mean?" So I was a shipman. Was I? You got rid of me and you got in some other players that were way better. I was like, so I appreciate it. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Thanks, mate.
So in the end, your body just couldn't get right at GWS and you had to sort of say that's it?
Yeah. Well, I got right for groups of games, essentially, but not...
to your level, I mean.
I never got to the point where I was really humming, I don't think. The best I felt was probably in that semi-final. We actually ended up losing to Collingwood down here at the G. And the team was just starting to come back together, but we just couldn't quite get it done on that night.
Is that 18?
That was 18, yeah. But then we would again met Richmond in the prelim. So who knows what would have happened there. But... I ended up retiring off the back of playing in the snow game up at Canberra when we played Hawthorn and we got pounced.
Clarko when he's talking about
when he ran around at their training session, we're all in long sleeves. Why wouldn't you be? It was snowing. Nicked my calf and missed the next 4 or 5 weeks, but then came back for a final game in the in that final.
What you and Jonesy have in common, you're really good in the media. I don't know if that's part of it, and I'm really enjoying your ABC work. And I reckon after 2020, were you on air on the Sunday after the Tigers won 2020? It was almost like you could then relax and enjoy a bit as a Richmond person.
Yeah. I was. I was always on, I'm surprised you listen to ABC. It's my...
Ralph listens to everything.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know
where he's from. Well, how do you find the time? It was more so that I'd finished, so I had no control over whoever won and whatever was going on. And it was off the back of COVID and it was a mixed up year, wasn't it? But 100%. I could probably start to, and I spoke to Wayne Campbell at great length about this. He's like, "Mate, you're always going to be a Richmond person. You spent 12 years of your life there. You're a life member. it's time to let go of the animosity that you've got towards them. Yep. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to sit here and have a couple of beers on my own, mind you, with a fire pit out the back because we couldn't have people over. And watch them win it, and then watch the Storm win the flag the next day as well. So it was a good little double.
What are you emotionally invested in anything now, or you just could call it as you see it? Or like, do you this year would you like Richmond or next year Richmond or GWS to win it, or do you have any interest in the sides you play for? Or you now just watch footy basically because it's your job, or do you love watching footy?
I watch it more so for my players to play well, the boys that I'm looking after, and the teams that they're involved in. Richmond, if they go on to win it, that'd be fantastic. But there's not a lot of players there that I play with that are still – like they're all starting to die off. That's what happens. The Giants the same. I've still got a lot of good mates that are up there. And I'm enjoying watching them go about their work at the moment. But I'm not that invested, and I never have been. Even as a kid, I wasn't diehard one way or the other. We go to the footy every weekend and this is how it has to be. Watch the good players and watch the way they play and try and take little bits out of that, you know. So, I'm not that emotionally invested, but, you know, if the Tigers win it, that'd be fantastic. My girls are Tigers now. They spent 1 week as a Giants player at their Oz kick the first time, and there was no one else, so they sacked that real quick and then joined the crew of about 50, you know, to go and sing the song after Oz kick. But, they enjoy going along and spending time at games and whatever else, which is great.
Do you take them, mate?
A little bit, like, how old? 8, 5, and 2. Yeah. I don't take the 2-year-olds. That's just nightmare. But,
Do you know what that's like, though?
I haven't taken my 2-year-old to the footy, no. No way. What time? About 4 or 5?
4 or 5, yeah.
We've started quizzing dads. I went to the footy for the first time in a long time as a spectator because I work there. And we started quizzing dads on the way out. Oh, how old's he? And Stephen's like, yeah, I reckon that's the age because I've got a 2-year-old as well. And Stephen's like, no fucking chance. Because if he has a tantrum, it's going to ruin my experience watching the game. So I reckon 5, this little boy that we saw the other day was 7 and it was his first game. I was like, that's late, isn't it? 7?
Yeah.
Because they've been playing.
One of them's Paw Patrol, which I don't know what football is. So they are calling it is.
Yeah. My girls came along, the eldest came along as like a 2-3-year-old because I was going to watch the Giants anyway. But she just wanted to go to eat the chips, you know, which is fine. But they like the experience of being there. All the people, they just got a million questions. What's going on with that? It's like, you're not there to watch the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's there for the experience, riding the train in and whatever else. Like it's, but the club did it really well.
Going to ride the train in, Dane, with Tate one day? Dane doesn't know where he lives in Paran. He's not sure where Windsor or Paran station are.
Mikey, I don't understand.
You don't
have
to use a mic. We've told you this.
Okay.
Tap on and tap off. Use your phone.
That'll be a new system by the time you're.
Yeah, true.
Hopefully.
I never used to ride the train either, mate. But
children,
it's not even kids. It's just easier because it's not good though when there's 60,000 people going to the train after an MCG game. Yeah.
Well, that's where GWS would have been good. absolutely. There's 6,000. No one. So, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, and just Fitch, put a bit more meat on the bone about your journey to be a player manager.
So I started off as like a lot of players do, thinking you're going to be a coach when you finish footy. I'm sure you have thought about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no one's ever asked me.
No,
you don't have to wait for people to ask you everything.
If someone asked me to do it, I'd say yes to anything once.
Yeah.
Someone asked me to go help someone, I would do it.
But knock it till you tried it.
Yeah, but also a bit like you said earlier, playing local footy, it's probably a bit more. Probably a bit more beneficial for me to be playing.
For the Dane Swan Foundation,
the professionalism of the AFL world might take up too much of your time.
Too many hours. You obviously don't get paid like a player, but you know if that's what all you know, well, that's all you know.
It's a question from afar. Why, if you're a really good coach and you were a really good player and you think you can impart that knowledge, do you have to be really good at coding?
Coding,
yeah,
that's a great question, and that's essentially why I don't like it.
Right,
I've got a lot of good mates that are coaches, and I don't understand, especially with young families, how they give up that much time to watch a game back for 8 hours after a game.
Throw off over three different views, mate. It's horrible.
Surely you can see the trends in the game and be like, I'll teach him how to do that a little bit better, and away we go, and we'll be better.
But get a computer guy to do the
exactly,
or a robot.
Yeah.
No, so I was at Hawthorn for 6 months, which was good. I was supposed to play at Box Hill, which I wasn't that fond of as a development coach.
What were you? Were you straight an assistant or were you development?
Nah, development. So I always only wanted to be development, really, just to work with the kids and try and help bring them along. COVID hit, last one in, first one out. And then tried my hand at some labouring, landscaping, that sort of stuff. Wasn't for me. Lasted 3 days of labouring.
Early starts, not for you?
Nah, early start, I don't mind, but my back was not interested.
Well, Dane's just entered the workforce this year.
His work's a little different, though.
Can I inform you? Yeah, these hands, they've never had a callus on them in their life. Nah, not for me.
These hands are for picking up chopsticks at Nobu. Not a trowel on a work site.
No, I don't know what a trowel is.
What are you doing?
I've done a couple of things. My cousin, family-owned KPI, just like a construction company, labour, traffic management. So just client relations, I think my job is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's a fluffy job, isn't it?
I don't know why you laugh. It's a fucking serious job.
Absolutely.
It is.
How many hours? A week?
A day. Until they kick him out.
Thursdays, maybe 9 to 12.
Have you got a
great job.
Yeah,
a loyalty card at Nobu yet?
I don't pay. My cousin. Yeah, it's good, mate. If you need some labour, I try to give KPI a call.
Yeah,
beautiful. Sorry, so back to you.
As the guest. So obviously that stuff didn't work out, but I've been with my manager since I was 16, essentially. So I'd always like been in inquisitive about what management was and how it works, and thought, you know, I think that, you know, using my knowledge in the game, I think I could really relate to young players and have a little niche opportunity. But I, said, mate, I'd love to. And he said, mate, well, if you're going to get in, I want you to have skin in the game, essentially. And I was like, mate, I'm not sure if you noticed. I've just retired. I haven't got a job.
Yeah.
I'm not just, you know, money's not rolling in.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, mate, essentially now invested in the business, not going anywhere, staking the game, so to speak, and really trying to build it, mate, from being a company that has, you know, 35, 40 clients to, you know, really be a, you know, Paul Connors is probably the benchmark at the moment with where he's at. He's been in the same amount of time as my my boss and manager at the time.
So, what's the company called?
Max Sports, Max MSP. Sports, Max Sports Promotions.
Just footballers, women, cricketers, jockey?
No, just footy at the moment. I think in time we'll move more towards, you know, being that. I was a mad cricketer back in the day.
It's funny you said that because when we did our just message that you were available, I was at the footy with Damien Fleming. He looked over my shoulder and said he was in the coaching academy when you were coming through.
Yeah, so I was lucky to be a part of the – it's called like a diamonds in the roughing country group of players that come down.
Is Luke Hodge part of that or not?
Not when I was. Hodge's a bit older than me.
Okay.
I got to field for Victoria out there against the Indians. Met little Sachin Tendulkar, which was awesome, one of my life experiences. But I love cricket. You know, Matty Elliott's a Kai boy, used to play for Victoria. He gave me one of his sticks and used to take me under his wing, which was awesome. But, I'd love to get into that in time. But at this point in time, we're fully focused just on footy. And
men and women's or just men?
Just men at the moment.
Yeah.
I think what we would like to do is have a female come in and be able to do the girl stuff.
Yep.
But at this point in time, just the men. But love it, you know, being able to work with kids, not on that, I've got to watch 8 hours of your vision to go and take you back through it, but to be able to say, here's that, we've got a program that just cuts up their vision, go through it, watch their game with them, say, this is what I would do, this is what the best players would do, start to try that. And then when they come back to you the next week and they're like, mate, that actually works. It's like, yeah, I know, that's why the good players are good at that, you know?
So what, do you seriously have to start speaking to them at 15, 16.
So we'll go and watch the best kids in the 16. So like your Northern Knights, Calder Cannons, all those teams will play around Robin around Easter. Then the best kids from that go up to the Gold Coast and they'll play the national champs. You're not actually allowed to start talking until October 1 of that year. So you've got all this work on them. You know who all the best kids are, but you can't talk to them until then. Then you put your case forward and then you hope they choose you and see the benefit in what you can do.
And a 16-year-old Brett DeLidio or 16-year-old Dane Swan, have they got more scope for improvement in your eyes?
Are you comparing the pair?
Asking you. Yeah, if you've got a kid that maybe he's got some rough edges about him compared to a kid who's very, very serious at 16.
Yeah, it's funny because you look more not so much at their ability but their body shape and their you do look at their ability. They've got to be able to still find the footy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't. If I look at a kid and he's had three touches, I'm like, how's that going to translate? He might grow, and he might grow into something. He might just had a bad day. But if I'm looking at Swanee coming out, and there's kids that are built the same way as Swanee now that get it 35 times, you're like, this kid can just find it.
Mm.
But is he a man-child already at 16? And he's just bigger than everyone, so he's just bullying him. So it might not translate, you know, whereas there might be a skinny kid who's like my build when I was coming through at 184 for 85, but built like a rake, that can take some overhead grabs and kick the ball really well. And you're like, oh, the scope for him looks really impressive.
Yep.
So it's really different. If you're looking at a midget, though, like a kid who's only like 165, 67, they're like,
hope he grows.
You want to hope he grows because you've got to be so good at that sort of height. They're talking about this Nick Watson who's 170 this year coming through, being pick five or something. But if you watch him live, like he's got some serious tricks. He's a really good player. Caleb Daniel was probably similar, but he was pick 60 or something.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason why a crawl for a Caleb Daniel or a Brett Harvey are outliers because it is so
because they're so harder. Good. Yeah.
But it's so much harder.
Yeah. Well, it is so hard. Yeah. And that's why they probably go more towards the back end of the draft than the top end. But
did you have to go to just go get a degree or
yeah, you got
to
be accredited through the AFLPA.
You have to be accredited,
which he is.
is he?
Yeah.
Who is? Yeah. No worries. Right, we're done.
Heath's a fully accredited agent, would you believe?
So, you're going to try and poach him, get him under you?
Yeah, well, I have spoken to him about it, but no, he's fully invested in his own...
the gambling.
Gambling stuff. And
probably better off keeping that separate for
your
kids.
I think here's some free bets, kids.
Start. This isn't the journey of AFL stardom. It's got to be fully accredited. I studied for an exam that went for... I hadn't done an exam since, year 11, 12 at school. I was knackered by the end of it.
So I'll never be a player manager.
There's another one we can rule out. Hey, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks,
Brett Deledio, if you want to get hold of him via Max Sports, and Sam will put the link up on our socials as well.
Sure will. Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.